Well, good morning, everyone. Off to a good start. Tied the microphone wire in a knot, so not going to be able to be lazy at the start of this sermon. But we're in Proverbs 6 talking about laziness this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're so pleased that you have come to worship with us. It has been a bit of a challenge getting back from out of town. I was in Idaho. I really appreciate your prayers. It was a productive trip, but I've just been feeling a little groggy with the jet lag and loss of sleep trying to get my schedule back. So this sermon really challenged me to not be lazy. I really, there were times where when I got back, I did not want to work on this sermon at all, but I had to put my sermon into practice and we got it together. So we're in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. To begin, how long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. The book of Proverbs was written from the perspective of a father to his son. So even though all of the Proverbs apply to everybody, not just sons or young people, the Proverbs do have special application to young people. And perhaps one of the greatest temptations for young people is to be lazy. Maybe that's because as we get older, our responsibilities gradually increase. You know, when you're a baby, when you're a toddler, all you have to do is lay there and look cute. And your parents do everything for you. But as you get older, you notice that gradually, well, you get introduced to the pressures of life's responsibilities, like more chores at home, or maybe homework in school, or training for sports teams, or learning an instrument, or Bible class preparation, and eventually getting a job. And as our responsibilities pile up, sometimes it can feel a little bit overwhelming, and you might want to resist. You might be tempted to resist those responsibilities. We might decide we're just going to go back to that stage where we get to lay there and look cute and let our parents do everything for us, because that's much easier. In high school, I was waking up at 5 a.m. I don't know why. They still start school way too early, but I was waking up at 5 a.m. every morning. And one of the only good TV shows on that early was Garfield. And I must confess to you, every time I watched Garfield at 5 a.m., I was so envious of that cat. He didn't have to wake up at 5 a.m. He didn't have 8 hours of classes every day, then 2 hours of homework every night. He got to sleep in every day. He got to eat lasagna all the time. And the only responsibility he had was to pull pranks on Odie or Nermal. It seemed like Garfield had it all. And as I faced the burdens of the day, many times I wished I had that life. But the scriptures say, if we were to live our lives like Garfield, we would be sinning against God. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? So how do we avoid living like Garfield or like the sluggard in Proverbs? Well, first, let's look to the Proverbs to show us what lazy people look like and why it's so sinful. First of all, lazy people live to lounge. The sluggard's life is driven by the purpose of lounging and relaxation. If you're still there in the text in Proverbs 6, 9, there's a question there. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? And it seems that verse 10 is a response to the question. The sluggard, it seems, is answering the question that was asked to him in verse 9. In verse 10, he answers the question, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. In other words, how long will I lie here in bed? Just a little bit longer. We all know the feeling. The alarm clock goes off in the morning. You do not feel like moving. And so you reach over and you hit that snooze. Well, nothing wrong with hitting the snooze once, maybe twice, but the sluggard pounds away on that snooze button and eventually turns the alarm off to the neglect of his or her responsibilities. Proverbs 26:14, a vivid image here. As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard in his bed. Just as doors are stuck to the wall by their hinges, so lazy people are stuck to their beds. The only time they move is when they roll over to the other side. Like a swinging door, they rotate back and forth on their bed. As one writer wrote, moving but making no progress. Because they live to lounge. It's amazing. When you don't want to do something, how easy it is to get stuck to the couch or stuck to the recliner. This happens to me a lot when it's very, very hot outside, which is all the time in Florida, and I know I have to mow the lawn. I don't want to mow the lawn, and so there's something, it's like there's Velcro on my recliner. Like I know I need to get up, I know I need to go mow the lawn, but I just can't seem to get unstuck. And have you noticed, the longer you sit around and do nothing, the easier it is to continue sitting around and doing nothing until eventually you even start to get drowsy. Look with me in Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 15. Proverbs 19 and verse 15. It says, laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. Sometimes your body just starts to shut down due to inactivity. In fact, studies show it is unhealthy for people to get too much sleep. You know, you would think if you get 8 hours a night and you feel pretty good as an adult, maybe young people need more sleep, but 8 hours as an adult, if you feel great about that, you think that, well, man, I'll just sleep 10 hours a night instead and I'll feel even better. Actually, it has the opposite effect. You start to wake up groggy and you feel half asleep during the day. That shows us laziness breeds more laziness. Now, laziness doesn't always mean you do no work at all. It can also manifest itself in doing the bare minimum at work, just to hurry up and get to the weekend so that we can be lazy again. Proverbs 10, would you turn there with me? Proverbs 10 and verse 26. Proverbs 10, verse 26. Proverbs 10, 26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. Have you ever tried to drink vinegar? Because it apparently is good for your health sometimes, maybe apple cider vinegar or something. It's very sour and you just want to spit it out. Or if you've been camping and you sit next to a campfire and the wind shifts direction, you just get a face full of that smoke. It's just so unpleasant. He's saying that's what it's like to hire a lazy person to do a job. Because it's going to turn out something like this. Lazy people might do some work, but they're also going to take shortcuts and they're going to sacrifice quality to get it done as quickly as possible so they can go back to their lounging. Application, young people. This applies to everybody, but I'm speaking to young people too. It is easier to lounge than ever today. We have memory foam. We have air conditioning. We don't have to go out every day and hunt for our food. We can pick up a phone, have food delivered to us. We have the internet. We have video games. We have streaming television. Have you ever been lounging, young people, and your parents ask you to take out the trash, and A, you got annoyed because it interrupted your lounging, and B, when you took it out, you did it as quickly as possible, didn't even really push it all the way to the curb, so the garbage people completely missed it, and you didn't check all the rooms of the house, you only took the one can out, you didn't want to go around to the other rooms because that would have just taken too much time, and you got to get back to your lounging. It was an interruption in your relaxation. How about your other chores? How about your schoolwork? How about at work? Do we cut corners and take shortcuts simply to make our lives easier and more relaxing, even though the job is not done well at all? If so, we're being lazy. And it might be funny to see a cat being lazy, but God takes it very seriously when we are lazy. Secondly, lazy people look for lions. Would you turn to Proverbs 26, please? Proverbs 26. This is right before that verse about the door turning on its hinges. It says in Proverbs 26, verse 13. Proverbs 26, 13, the sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. Here the sluggard gives an excuse for why he can't get out of bed and go work. He says, there's a lion on the loose outside. I can't go out there. There's a lion. And I might get attacked or I might get killed. But you notice, when he says this, it doesn't just keep him from going outside. It keeps him from getting out of bed at all. Couldn't he maybe, even if it was literal that there was a lion on the loose, couldn't he still get up and do chores around the house, like on the inside of the house? Well, yes. But that's because the point of this is it's not literal. It's an exaggeration. He's making up an excuse to stay in bed. Sluggards just want to stay stuck to their beds, and they purposely will look for imaginary lions. Lazy people look for excuses to get them off the hook for their responsibilities. A couple applications. Maybe you wake up with a very, very minor scratchiness in your throat. And you just say, well, I can't go to work now. I'll get the entire company sick. Or I can't go to school. I'll get the entire class sick because I have this little tiny, I feel there's a little scratchiness there, and I might as well just stay home and stay in bed all day. Well, that's an excuse to stay home and lounge. Or students, maybe your teacher gives you 20 math problems to do, and you got stuck on the very first question. And instead of skipping it and moving on to the other 19, or even calling a friend to help you with that one question, well, you decided to skip the other 19 and just watch TV instead. And then when the teacher asks you the next day why you didn't do your homework, you say, well, it was just way too hard. I didn't understand any of it. Well, you may not have understood the first question, but you might have understood the next 19. You just didn't try. There's a lion in the streets. I just couldn't do my homework. Or maybe you were supposed to read a section in your workbook and in your Bible for Bible class. And instead of doing it, you opted to lounge, but when asked about it, you said, I'm sorry, I just didn't have any time to do it at all. 4 days, but there was zero time that I could do that. That's an exaggeration, an excuse to lounge. Let's bring the New Testament in on this. Turn to Matthew 25, please. Matthew chapter 25. In the parable of the talents, a man goes on a journey and he puts his servants in charge of handling some financial responsibilities while he was away. He gave one servant 5 talents. A talent was a unit of weight. I'm not sure exactly what kind of coins, was it silver or gold, but this was money basically. 5 talents to one servant. Another servant, he gave 2 talents, and another servant, he gave 1 talent. Well, the servants with the 5 and the 2 talents both went to work. And they invested that money for their masters so that they would get a return on their investment. But the 1 talent man hid the talent in the ground, did absolutely nothing with it. And listen to how the exchange goes between him and his master. In Matthew 25, begin in verse 24. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. The master calls him lazy because he chose to do nothing. And even worse, he made up an excuse. He said, there's a lion out in the streets. I couldn't invest your money because I was too afraid that I would lose it and then you would be disappointed in me. Well, he was far more disappointed that this man didn't even try to handle his responsibilities. See, since lazy people look for lions to blame for their laziness, they often talk a good game but don't follow through. I would have done this, but I just couldn't because of this lion over here in the streets. Lazy people are always about to do something, or fixing to do something, or they almost do a lot of things, but the lions keep them stuck on the dead-end road of the fantasy world where there are no responsibilities. Proverbs 14, verse 23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." It's easy to talk about doing things, but it takes hard work to follow through. And lazy people very rarely follow through because those pesky lions always seem to be getting in the way. I was about to start my Bible reading program this month, but it just didn't work out. I was going to crush this project at work, but the time just snuck up on me and I wasn't prepared. I was going to start my research paper this week, but they're remodeling the library right now. I was about to get a job, but like the 10 other interviews before, and I'm just not sure this company is a right fit for me. Lazy people look for lions and things just never seem to get done. And thirdly, lazy people let their life fall apart. Turn back to Proverbs 26, please. Proverbs chapter 26. After reading this section, I had to go and do some yard work real quick. I think I've got the wrong chapter. What happened there? 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. I didn't have a verse 30 through 34 in my chapter 26, so it was a good clue. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34, says this: "I passed by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man." Since the lazy person is inside asleep for fear of those imaginary lions, his fields go untilled and unharvested. His vineyards are overgrown with weeds and thorns. Someone has vandalized his property, knocked his wall down, but it's just been sitting there because there's no one fixing that wall. If you were to pass by this man's property, it would seem like no one had lived there for years. The abandoned fields and vineyards really are a reflection of the fact that this lazy person has abandoned his whole life. His house and his property are in shambles, and it's likely everything else in his life is in shambles too. His relationships with people are in shambles because relationships take work. Relationships take self-sacrifice. His finances are in shambles because he has no income from his fields or his vineyards. And ultimately, there's a deeper significance to all of this in the book of Proverbs, and it's the most important thing. His relationship with God is in shambles too, because this is not how God wants him to live. In Proverbs 21:25, it says, "The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work." I think there's a very literal sense in which that's true. If this man starves to death because he does not work, then it can literally kill him. But I think this desire of his puts him to death in other ways as well. I think it destroys his heart and kills his soul. And he's dead spiritually because his relationship with God is a wreck. Laziness, if left unchecked, is like a disease that can spread across every area of our lives. Young people, if we live to lounge and if we look for lions to excuse us in our lounging, we're not going to get along well with our parents. Home life is going to be very, very stressful because we're going to feel like our parents are always riding us, always hovering around us to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do, always nagging us. Well, The only reason they will do that is if they get the impression that we're lazy. And if they don't hover and if they don't get on our case, then things just won't get done. But what if we were to do what our parents asked us to do right away? Right when they asked us. They wouldn't have to hover. They wouldn't have to nag. Things would be much smoother. And if we live to lounge and look for lions to excuse our lounging, we're not going to do well in school either. Schoolwork will seem like the biggest burden in the world because it just continually interrupts our lounging. As adults, laziness can cause us to lose our job or to stay stuck at the same level forever because our bosses know we're too lazy to handle a promotion and the responsibilities that go along with that. Laziness can destroy marriages because it puts all the responsibility on the other person, and wives have to become the mommies of their husbands. And likewise, if the wives are lazy, then the husbands have to become their father, and it's like they have another child to raise. And that's just a disaster. And most importantly, laziness destroys our relationship with God. Because instead of reading our Bibles and praying, or instead of sacrificing our time and effort to serve people, we'll be far too busy lounging and not living the life He designed us to live. We'll be hinged to the bed while our life falls apart around us. Again, Garfield can get away with it because he's a cat. But for us, it's sinful and tremendously destructive. So what's the solution? How do we leave laziness behind if we are indeed guilty of it? First of all, we need to realize that God designed work to be fulfilling. Hard work isn't just about getting good grades or getting promoted at work or having a well-kept house. Those might be byproducts of hard work. But ultimately, God designed us to get satisfaction from work. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs 13:4. It says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat." I think that's very telling that he doesn't say the bank account of the sluggard is craving but gets nothing, and the bank account of the diligent is made fat. No, it's the soul of the person. It's the inner man, the inner being that gets true satisfaction from diligent, hard work. It's also very telling that when God put man in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, He didn't say, "Okay, well, here's a lounge chair, Adam, and then this is paradise. You're just going to lay here and relax." He actually put him to work. He said, "You need to go and cultivate the field." He says, "You need to go and you name all the animals." You know how long? I don't know how long that would take. That sounds like a lot of work. And you need to be fruitful. And you need to multiply and fill the earth. Go explore. Go work. You see, he knew Adam would not be fulfilled sitting around all day. That's because man was created in God's image. Our Heavenly Father is a worker. He's a creator. He builds things. He does things. He's always acting. He's always working. And Jesus made that point, that the Heavenly Father has been working, and I too have been working up to this point. And that's why really we get our greatest fulfillment when we are working, when we are creating, when we are building like our Heavenly Father builds and does things. Now I understand part of the curse of sin was that work is now grueling and more difficult. And he says that in Genesis 3. Well, now you're still going to have work, but now it's going to be really, really hard. And I think probably, let's just be honest, that's why we're tempted to be lazy, because we know, oh, this job is going to be hard. It's going to require a lot of effort. But God still designed us to get fulfillment from a job well done. There are few things more satisfying than when your head hits the pillow at night knowing you worked hard and did your absolute best that day. There's a preacher from the 1800s that certainly would not advocate everything that he said, but he said this that I thought was very well put. He said, "Thank God every morning when you get up that you have something to do that day which must be done, whether you like it or not. Being forced to work and forced to do your best will breed in you temperance and self-control, diligence and strength of will, cheerfulness and contentment, and 100 virtues which the idle never know. Secondly, plan time to lounge. I need to be very clear, it is not sinful to rest or to lounge. Our Heavenly Father created us to work, but He also designed us to need rest. He Himself rested on the seventh day after creation, and then under the law of Moses and the Old Covenant, He commanded His people that you are to do no work, absolutely no work on the seventh day, that you are to rest on that day. Even Jesus, one of the busiest people on earth, when He started His ministry, regularly took time away by Himself on a mountain to pray and to rest and to recharge. And you know what? He encouraged His disciples to do the same. After their very first preaching trip, kind of the limited commission, when the disciples got back, listen to what Jesus tells them. In Mark 6:31, He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." And Mark puts this parenthetical in there, "For there were many people coming and going, they did not even have time to eat." I think sometimes we feel guilty for resting. We think that we have to just be working all the time, nonstop, or we're somehow sinning, or we're somehow being lazy, and that's just not true. We need to rest and to recharge. And in fact, when we rest, when we plan those rest times, it actually prevents laziness in a couple ways. Number one, it motivates us to work hard now when we know there's a rest coming in the future. When we know there's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. This is why I take Mondays off. I try to, as best I can, live like Garfield on Mondays. Because despite all the, you know, I do have to do laundry and I have to shop and I have to cook and all those things. I try to get all that done as soon as I can on Monday so I can just be like Garfield and just lounge and relax and not have to read and study and write and think. And I need that so that when I go in on Tuesday, I'm just ready to go. I'm recharged. I'm ready to work hard because I rested. And then I'm ready to work hard from Tuesday to Sunday because I know there's a rest coming for me. On Monday, I did that here with this sermon because, like I said, the sermon was a little bit of a struggle coming back from vacation, trying to get out of vacation mode and then back into sermon writing mode. And so I knew I had two legs of flights. I had a 1.5 hour flight and then a 4 hour flight. And I knew I had layovers in between. So what I determined was I'm going to take the time before that first flight and the flight time and the layover time. So that probably 4 hours or so, and I'm going to work on this sermon. You know what? That second leg, that 4 hour flight, I'm not going to work on this sermon. I'm going to rest. I'm just going to, you know, watch movies on the little screen in front of the on the back of the seat. And that was fine because it was a planned thing. And I'll tell you the other benefit and how a planned rest time prevents laziness is because it sets a limit. Because if you don't make a plan, I will rest from this time to this time, it can quickly spiral out of control and you get that stuck feeling. You get that, oh, I just don't want to get up. But if you say to yourself, it may not be a whole day for you, it may be, well, the end of the day, maybe the hour before bed. That's just going to be my relaxation time. If you say, look, from this time to this time, this 1 hour period, I'm going to live like Garfield and do nothing and just be rested. That's going to motivate you to get back to work, and you're going to be recharged to work hard. And third and finally, confront your lions. I don't really have a particular scripture for this because it's kind of a common sense thing, but sometimes our lions aren't exaggerated excuses. Sometimes they're legitimate factors. One man said that he did not consider himself to be a lazy person, but he went through a phase of just not wanting to do anything at all except sleep. And he went to the doctor and he found out that he had hyperthyroidism, which caused extreme fatigue. And so once he started to get on medication to balance out his thyroid levels, well, then he was able to function normally and not be so tired anymore. So he wasn't really being lazy. There was some other problem going on. Or maybe the reason a student doesn't do his homework or study for tests isn't because he's lazy, but because he doesn't understand the material and he's embarrassed because it makes him feel dumb. That's a very real lion that needs confronting, and that student needs to ask for help. Or maybe someone stays on welfare, not because they're lazy, but because they've just been laid off so many times and had so many bad breaks that they're afraid to get a job and lose it and then feel like a failure all over again. Well, that's a very real lion that needs to be confronted. That person needs to face that fear. Or maybe you notice patterns about your laziness. It's not that I'm a lazy person. It's that when I'm in this particular situation, I'm strongly tempted to be lazy. Maybe you have a favorite chair. And you know, as soon as I sit down in that chair, I'm not getting up for the rest of the day. If that's the case, stay out of that chair until the end of the day. Because you notice, I'm not really a lazy person. It's just when I'm in that particular situation, I'm really tempted to be lazy. And so you can actually address that lion. That's not an exaggerated thing. That's a very real thing that's happening. And you can address that and solve that issue. Maybe a Christian is lazy in their Bible reading because they don't read well. And it's just a struggle and a strain for them to read. That's a real lion. And maybe this Christian can download an audio Bible instead. Or maybe a Christian works hard in every area of his or her life, but is lazy when it comes to spiritual things. That's not really laziness. That's a priority issue of not putting the Lord first. That's a very real lion that needs to be confronted. The point is, sometimes laziness isn't the problem. It's a symptom of some other problem. And when we figure out what lion is keeping us hinged to our bed, then we can confront it head on, and God will be with us. Because he wants us to overcome laziness so that we can work for him. I'll tell you, back in high school, it sure seemed like Garfield was living the life. That is not the life God wants us to live. The lazy life is not only sinful, it's an empty life, devoid of any fulfillment. And I imagine if you were to conduct an experiment, and maybe some of us did this on summer break, and you said, "Well, I'm just going to live like Garfield for an entire month, and I'm just going to lay around. I'm going to move from my bed to the TV to the couch and watch TV, and then back to bed, and then back to the TV. And people are going to feed me. I'm going to eat junk food, and I'm going to do that for a month." It wouldn't take you long to realize this is not living at all. It might sound fun at first. It might be fun at first, but eventually you're going to realize this is just not living. This is so empty and pointless. We were designed by our Creator to roll up our sleeves and get to work for Him, planning rest time along the way and knowing that the ultimate place of rest is awaiting us in heaven. Would you take out your songbooks, please? I don't know about you, but I am most tempted to be lazy when I am comfortable. And we have a lot of comfort here. But think about this thought. How comfortable was Jesus in heaven? Now, I don't picture him lounging around in heaven. That's not my point. But think of the comfort that he had with his Father in heaven and how easy it would have been for him to make up an excuse not to come to this earth and die on a cross. And yet Jesus, instead of being lazy, he chose to come work, to work hard for your salvation and for mine. Do you know this Jesus? If not, you can this morning. If you'll believe in him and you will come to him this morning, he will give you rest if you believe he's your Lord and you're willing to repent of your sins. Confess him as Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you've done that already and you've wandered off and you've been living a lazy life, won't you turn your life around this morning? If we can pray with you and help you in any way, come forward. Let us know while we stand and sing. I gave my life.